So in this matters of the mind, we talked about last week, this is this part six, talking about breaking free from addiction. We think addiction, we said this last week, we talk about the big bad ones. You know the big bad ones? We talk about alcohol and drugs and gambling and nicotine and porn and sex. And we think about addiction. We think about the big boy. We call them the big boys. But we talked about last week, what about spending? We talked about, what about overeating? What about junk food and soda and lust? We talked about social media. Come on, even you're engaged in a conversation and you're so addicted to your phone, you can't even look at somebody when they come to visit you for dinner. Come on, I've been there. Amen. So what about these not so dark, not so quite dark addictions? What about TV? What about eating disorders? What about internet? How about nail biting? We talked about this last week. What about chocolate? Come on, man. Come on, we're talking about, I know I'm picking on chocolate people. Who chocolate people in the house this morning? Chocolate people, amen. But how many of you know chocolate can be an addiction? Come on, we talk about just porn and sex, but what about eating disorders? What about cutting? Come on. I'm running in, as a pastor, I run into a lot of people. This is a big issue in this generation. Cutting, amen. Nail biting, any nail biters in the house? No nail biters? Come on, is it just me and Matt? We got nail biters. And so some quick review is this. We made these 4 points just last week. We said, number one, we need to work. What are we talking about? We're talking about symptoms, and we're talking about the heart. Amen. A lot of times last week we talked about how we want to go quick into repair of the symptom. How many of you know we need to deal with the heart? And when you deal with the heart, dealing with the heart first will help you begin to change the symptoms and what's going on. And you say, well, I'm not addicted, nor do I have idols in my life. Well, you're dealing with a generation that's living right in this very place. And so this message is not just for you, but it's also for somebody else. Amen. To what? Help them break free. Amen. So number one, we said this, we must work on changing your heart and not the symptom. We need to change the heart and not the symptom. Number two, we said we must reestablish. Say reestablish. We must reestablish Jesus as the king of our heart. Come on, there's times where I've walked away from God. I've let things rule my life. I have let things dominate it. I did that when I was single. I've done that in my marriage. Amen. I've done that with my kids. How many of you know God will work with you? Amen. And that's that thing called grace, the grace of God. Amen. We made this point number three last week that we are going to what? Take it public. We're not going to hide. We said this last week. Where does mold grow? We said that mold grows in the dark. Mold grows in the dark. Amen. So what we're walking through, what we're going through, we're going to get with a trusted advisor. Come on, say trusted. Say confident. We're going to get with a trusted, confident person, somebody who's in Christ, who understands who they are, and we're going to expose what? That which is in our life. Come on, when God puts his finger on issues in our life, what do? We take it public, man. We take it public. Come on, how many of you know you can isolate? How many of you know you can grow mold? We don't want to do that. Point number four, we said this. We must begin to align and identify with Christ, not our addiction. How many of you know when you go to AAA, I call it AAA, how many of you know there's some good things in that class? But one of the things I would change about that class is my continual confession of I am an alcoholic. Come on, when God has set you free from something like that and you're going through those classes, your confession needs to be in line with your identity with Jesus Christ. Amen. Come on, I'm free today because of what Jesus has done for me. Amen. So we said, number four again, we begin to align and identify with Christ, not our addiction. How many of you know when you get people focused on Jesus, come on, focus on the goodness of God, it's going to be easier for people, come on, to break free. Amen. Because Jesus set them free. And say this word with me. Say condemnation. There's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. That's the number one thing that I think that I deal with as a believer, not just as a pastor, as a believer. Come on. Satan wants to condemn. Come on. An unrenewed Christian mind, what? Moves back into condemnation. It does. That's why it's important that we get into the Word of God, church. Why? To get the mind, the very mindset of Christ. Come on. Every day in our life. What? Through reading the Scripture. Amen. So we talked about this. Who am I? We left off telling the story about the young man overcoming his marijuana addiction. Do y'all remember last week's message? We said this. It was in regards to Creflo Dollar. He had a young man that came to him that had an addiction to marijuana, and he was in constant reminder. He's reminding the young man that who he said every time, you know, he said, the young man said, I want to break free. But he said, every time you have a thought, this is what Creflo told the young man about pot. He said, say aloud, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We left off with this story. And the young man said, well, what if I get it? What if I go get it anyways? He said, just get the pot and say, I am the righteousness of God, what? In Christ Jesus. And the young man said, Pastor Creflo, what if I go get it? What if I roll a joint? Come on. Anybody with me this morning? He said, what if I roll a joint? He said, say it again. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He said, Pastor Creflo, what if I light it? He said, light it and say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He said, Pastor, what if I put it to my lips? He said, say it again. He said, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And the story is that he called Pastor Creflo, and the young man at one point had attempted to smoke another joint, and he realized it finally hit him. I am the righteousness. I have right standing. What is righteousness? It's right standing in fellowship with God. And you have that because of what Jesus, come on, in his death, burial, and resurrection, you have that position in right standing with God because of what Jesus did. So again, I want to emphasize those words are not some magical phrase. Come on. The Scripture, the Word of God, is powerful. Amen. And how many of you know you can make up your own? Come on. Amen. And so what's our confession? Our confession of faith is, I am a man and woman of God. Come on. We said this last week. You remember this? I am a child of the Most High. I am forgiven. I am cleansed. I am washed. I am purified. To live holy. Listen, with a purpose. Say, with a purpose. With a purpose. Come on, church. Amen. And so through Jesus Christ, you and I, what? We overcome. Amen. What are we overcoming? Listen, habits. Anybody ever had any bad habits? I have. Yeah, you want me to name some of mine? Y'all, I would make you laugh at some of the habits I would have. Because how many of you know some habits aren't always just purely, you know, sexual and perverted? You understand? We think habits, we think, you know, major. How many of you know that stinky shoes is not a good thing? How many of you know you can put powder in your shoes? How many of you know that's a good thing? I grew up in athletics, man. I stunk out every pair of shoes I ever had, but it was never a habit to put powder or anything in my shoe. So my whole family suffered. Now, I know that's a joke, but how many of you know there's a lot of people, come on, that we've made heavy addictions and idols, and Jesus Christ, his power, he's already set many people free. What do they need? They need revelation of how good God is. And when they see how good God is, that he loves them, and that the Word, come on, the Word of God has been established forever, and they get a hold of revelation. And what do? We break free. Come on, we break free. So again, through Jesus, I overcome habits, addictions. Come on, lust, money, sex, social media, food cannot fulfill or satisfy me. But Jesus Christ can. How many of you know good food in Jesus is a good thing? Come on, I could be addicted to Jesus and not food. Amen. So we talked about, I'm not a victim to habits or addictions. Come on, I'm not a victim to habits and addictions. I am a what? I'm a victor, say victor, in Christ Jesus. Amen. And so we said this last week again as a recap, that addiction lies. We said that addiction lies, if you're taking notes, and it tells you it will always own you and addictions will always control you. You ever felt that way? There's times in my life where I felt like I'm owned. You ever felt like you're owned until revelation came and you broke free? Amen. And so addiction lies. So we're going to dive into a couple more steps and we're going to break free. Listen, we're going to win the battle. We're going to take this series and teach people that we don't have to live a life of addiction. And you say, well, I don't have addiction. Well, again, listen to last week's message. We talked about idols too. Maybe it's not an addiction issue. It might just be an idol issue. Come on. How many of you know your dating relationship, you can turn that into an idol? Come on. How many of you know bad behavior, you can turn that into an idol? How you treat people, how you talk to people. Come on. We're not talking about just porn and sex and things like that. We're talking about, what about a bad attitude? How many of you know a bad attitude? Well, I don't understand, Pastor. I just don't have any friends. Well, what does the Bible say about, come on, 3 John 2, beloved, I pray above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul, come on, your mind, your will, and your emotions, your soul prosper. Well, that's physically, spiritually, socially, emotionally, and financially. 3 John 2 covers every spectrum, every area of our life. God says, I want you healthy. I want you whole. Amen. Come on, that's the scripture. So the Bible says, he who wants friends must he himself be what? Friendly. So if we've magnified this attitude of ours, why? Because we're going through something. Why? Because it hurts. Come on, you need to break free. That's what we're talking about. There's people that are hurting. People maybe in this room or people out in our world. So we're going to continue again with part six. If you're taking notes, number one, we talked about we sever toxic relationships. We're going to continue on. Severing toxic relationships. Show me your circle of friends, and I'll define what kind of person you are. Come on. Show me your circle of friends. Amen. And I can define and will define the kind of person you are. How many of you know there's times where I've had to break free and separate myself from people? Do I still love them? Yes. Are they still my friends? Yes. Do I still call them? Yes. But how many of you know when it comes to information, folks, not everybody has to be in your inner circle? Come on. They don't? Amen. If you've not learned this, you're going to learn this. Man, I don't understand how my information keeps getting leaked out. Look at your inner circle. Come on. Amen. When you're sharing your most intimate details of your life, come on, there needs to be some confident spiritual people around your life. Come on, that has your back. Amen. So we need to sever toxic relationships. Proverbs 13:20. What are we talking about? Breaking free from addictions. Matters of the mind. Amen. Proverbs 13:20 in the New Living Translation says this. Walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. Amen. See, friends, say friends. Friends are highly contagious individuals. Friends are highly contagious individuals. Amen. Is that not? It's true. Yesterday, I spent the day in Pigeon Forge with some of my friends. We ended up going to look at snow, and we ended up in Pigeon Forge. how many you know that's contagious friends? Amen. So your friends, come on, good or bad, can affect decisions. They can affect you. Amen. And so Proverbs 22:24-25 says this. Don't befriend angry people or associate with hot-tempered people. Underline the statement, or you will learn to be like them. And grab the statement, and endanger your soul. Endanger your soul. See, what are you saying, Pastor? Choose friends that challenge you spiritually, not pull you away from God. Anybody that's pulling you away from God, you really need to analyze that relationship. Do you call them? No, they're people who need Jesus as much as you do. But they do have a rightful place within your relationship. Amen. And so 2 Timothy 2:22 says this. What are you talking about? We sever toxic relationships. What are we doing? We're breaking free from idols, from addictions, from things that bog us down in our life. Amen. And so 2 Timothy, if you're taking notes, 2:22 says this. It says, run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Now, all of us that lived a little life, we're thinking back a little bit right now. We're going, come on, I can just hang out right here for about 3 days. Come on, man. There were times where I used to egg vehicles and toilet paper houses. Why? Because those friendships, come on, when I was a young 12-year-old that told me, hey, this is cool and you need to do this. Well, how many of you know you can get older and get into some other addictions and that friendship can influence you in a greater way? Why? Because we just been boys for a long time. You ever heard that statement? Come on, we just been friends. You know, we're girlfriends. Amen. We're guy friends. Come on, however you, we're friends. See, run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Instead, pursue. Say pursue. Pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. Come on, who call on the Lord with pure hearts. An example, we have small groups. This weekend, we went to do the escape rooms. We had a good time with folks, and we went up to 828 Escape. I've never done that before. And what did we do? We got a group of people together, and it was a lot of fun. We had an hour to escape a room. We got all the way down to, the last 11 minutes and 42 seconds, and I thought, man, we're not going to make this. Like, we're going to have to hold up the signs that said, you failed. Come on. And I mean, you know, Pastor, I'm competitive. I want to win. Amen. Nobody wants second place. Everybody wants first place. Anybody like first place? And all these people that were like, why does buy-in that everybody should have a trophy? Well, I get the thought process behind that, the thought processes. But my bro Ira over here, he works with Western Carolina University, and we were talking about a tough loss last night, right? Tough loss. And the thing is, you want to win. Come on. You want to win. Amen. And so run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Grab those words. Faithfulness, love, and peace. Does anybody like peace? Come on. Do you like chaos constantly in your jobs and your businesses? Come on. Your employees always showing up late, all you business folks in the house. Come on. They never show up on time. How many of you know that's not for peace for that day, right? Amen. So we're talking about severing toxic relationships. Point number two, we dedicate our body, what? To the kingdom purpose. We dedicate our body, say body, to kingdom purpose. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20 says this, don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and who was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. See, this body here, yours and mine, this is God's house. The Bible says that God lives in us. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. God resides in the born again, come on, child of God. And so God sees all, and God knows all. Come on, how many of you know we can fool people? But you can't fool God. God knows us. Romans 6, 12 and 13 says this. It says, do not let sin control the way that you live. Do not give into the sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourself. Say, give yourself. Give yourselves completely to God. For you were dead, but now you have new life. Say, new life. Man, we have new life in Christ Jesus. Amen. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for what? The glory of God. Amen. So God, it sounds like this. I give you my hands. I give you my lips. Come on. I give you my vocal cords. It's not just the worship team, guys. Come on. It's not just the people who sing up front. It's every day, our lives. Come on, God. I give you my eyes. Come on, what are we talking about? Dealing with addiction. I give you my eyes. Lord, I surrender all my thoughts. What about your thoughts? Amen. Amen. How many of you, your thoughts are important? Come on, man, they're directional. They're coming and going. The Bible says you have the power to meditate in Philippians 4 on what? Whatever things are pure. Whatever things are lovely. Whatever things are just, praiseworthy. What? Of a good report. The Bible says what? Meditate on what? These things. Amen. And so Galatians, I want to say this. Come on, God, I give you my sexual organs. How about that one? You say, that's blunt, Pastor. It's true. going. We got a lot of people in sexual addictions right now, man. It's real, and it needs to be talked about. Amen. How about this one? If we wouldn't do it in the church, God's house, we wouldn't do it in the physical house of God. Come on. Galatians 5:24 says this: those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross. Say his cross. Come on. His cross, and crucified them there. Amen. Number three, we tap into the power of the Holy Spirit. See, this is a powerful, powerful, powerful point right here. See, religion would teach you, get it done on your own. Come on, get around a group of people. Come on, just go to another Alcohol Anonymous class. Just go get some psychology counseling and it'll all be fixed. No, you may need some coaching. You may need some counseling. You may need somebody that you can just be vulnerable and talk to. But you need to tap into the power. Say power. Power of the Holy Spirit. Listen, this is not a fight to attempt on your own. It's not a fight to attempt on your own. Listen, it's not a fight to attempt on your own. Well, I'm breaking free from addictions, from things that are way in front. Come on, that are idols that are before God. Come on, you can tap into last week's message. It's so good. See, we're going to tip the scales. We need to tip the scales. Amen. See, here's the game changer here. I'm talking about tapping into the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:11 says this. It says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead, underline this statement, lives in you. Say, lives in you. He lives in you. When you're born again, you're a child of God. Come on, it's the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Holy Spirit is present in your salvation. You believe in your heart, what? You confess with your mouth that Jesus is what? Lord. And what happens at that moment? You begin to tap into the power of the Holy Spirit and his ability. Amen. And that's the game changer, folks. That's the game changer. Because you can't live this life all by yourself. Come on, you were not created and designed to live life alone. Amen. How many of you know you can lean on brothers and sisters right here in this very room? You can lean on others. How many of you know the body of Christ, the church, is more than just Destiny? How many of you know there's other ministries and churches out there? There's other brothers and sisters in Christ out there. Amen. That we can have relationship with. Amen. Strong believers. There's nothing more powerful than when I go on vacation, come on, and I roll into a new community and I'm visiting a church, that I can walk in that house and connect with God's people, connect with the message, come on, connect with the worship, connect with the atmosphere. Why? Because it's a culture that magnifies God and not a man. Come on. And it doesn't even magnify and praise the culture. It praises God. It lifts up Jesus. Amen. So we tap into the power of the Holy Spirit. See, the Apostle Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and this was a battle. Come on. He battled with this thorn in the flesh. 2 Corinthians 12:8-10, the Apostle Paul. It said, this is Paul. He said, concerning this, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might leave me. Amen. It said this in verse 9, but he said to me, my grace, come on. God said, my grace is sufficient for you. What are you talking about? My loving kindness. Come on. My mercy. Say that word with me. Say mercy. God's mercy are more than enough. Listen to this. Always available. Come on. Are people always available? Come on. Can we be transparent? Are people always available? Come on. Even your best friends, are they always available? Who is always available? Come on, talk to me, church. Who is always available? The Holy Spirit. We could tap into that relationship. See, Paul's thorn in the flesh. He said, Paul, I'm always available, regardless of the situation. He said, for my power is being perfected and is completed and shows itself most effectively, listen to that, in your weakness. In your weakness. He said, therefore, I will all the more gladly boast in my weakness so that the power of Christ may completely enfold me and dwell in me. Here Paul continues. He says, I am well pleased with weakness. Listen, with insults, with distress, with persecutions, and with difficulties for the sake of Christ. For when I am weak in human strength, then I am strong and truly able, truly powerful, and truly drawing from God's strength. Isn't that good? Come on. Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. We need to tap in to his power. Amen. How do I do that? Well, in the book of Acts 2 and verse 4, talks about, and if you're taking notes, go study the whole chapter of Acts 2, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Come on. And that is power. Come on, that's power that you can tap into. Amen. So greater is he that's living in you than what? He that is in the world. So the deliverer lives, say the word lives. The deliverer lives on the inside of you. Come on. I can name every one of you by name. He lives on the, that needs to be our confession. Come on, when we're feeling down, when my son's sitting in the NICU and he's got to be there another 6 to 8 weeks, but I want him home. Come on. And care and worry wants to come in. No, Father, come on. You live and abide on the inside of me, and your grace is sufficient for me, and I'm more than a conqueror. Come on, I'm going to overcome this feeling of sadness. Come on, amen. Come on, when guilt wants to show up because you're a parent who had to leave their child, how many know the enemy is, he's strategic, man. He will work your mind over as a parent and tell you how deficient you are as a parent. Amen. See, Hebrews 4:14 through 15, the deliverer lives on the inside of you and me. It says this, so then, since we have a great high priest who has entered into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly, let us grab this word, let us hold firmly to what? We believe. Verse 15, it says, this high priest of ours, who is he talking about right here, this high priest? He's talking about Jesus Christ. Come on, the writer of Hebrews says this. He says, this Jesus, this high priest of ours, he understands our weakness. And if you're taking notes, underline this in the Bible or underline this in your notes. For he faced all the same testings we do. Come on. He faced all the same testings. How many of you know Jesus was on the earth? He was 100% God, but he was 100% man. How many of you know he endured some things while he was in the earth? How many of you know he went through some suffering and some pain, but he overcame them? Jesus is, come on, he's our prototype. He's our example. He's our high priest. And he faced all the same testings, yet he did not sin. Amen. Hebrews 4:16. You say, you're giving a lot of scripture. Listen, scripture backs up, come on, what we're saying. That's what you stand on, is the scripture. And when you have the Bible knowledge, you have Bible revelation. Come on. How many of you know you can walk through something and the barrel may be on top of you, or you may be on top of the barrel, whether life is bad or life is good? How many know where life is going good or going bad? If we just don't weave in and out of the Bible, just when we have troubles. Amen. Just when things are, come on, everything's good. Amen. No, we need to stay in the Word. Why? Because it brings a sure foundation to us. Amen. So Hebrews 4:16, it says, let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy. Come on. It said, let us come boldly. Amen. How many of you know when you're cluttered in your mind with addiction and anxiety? Well, I can't go to this church because, come on, if I'm wearing the wrong clothes and I'm doing, come on, I might say something. Who cares? That's what that church is thinking. You know, in this house, it's like whatever. Come on, man. We believe that the word and the power and demonstration of the Spirit of God present, he can help you with any issue, any addiction, any idol, anything in our life, any impurity, any wrong thought. Come on. Amen. We believe that you can get help. Amen. And so come boldly. When you're cluttered, you're not going to come boldly. Come on. Unless you are trained. I see the clutter, Lord, and I'm working on that, but I'm still coming. You see what I'm saying? Come on, that needs to be our mentality. I got issues, but I'm still coming. Come on, I got things I'm learning, but I'm still coming. Come on, I'm not grown and fully developed in the area of business, but I'm not quitting. Come on, Lord, I need wisdom on how to get my business going. Come on. My profit and loss statements are all out of whack in 2019. I need to learn how to do some better business. Come on. Amen. See, God cares. He said, there we will receive mercy when we come boldly, and we will find what? Say, grace to help. Grace to help. Come on, there's times where man can't help you, but God can. Come on, man, God can send people to help you. Amen. You may or may not receive from men or from women. Come on. But you and God work this thing out. Come on. And he's merciful. And his grace is there to help us when we need it the most. And this is what our confession needs to be. God, I need your help to help me overcome. I need your help to help me overcome. Amen. Anybody remember David and Goliath in closing today? David and Goliath. See, the Israelites looked at a big, gigantic Goliath, 9'9". Man, he was big in stature, Goliath was. 9'9". That's a big dude. And here you have little David, ruddy David, reddish hair, good-looking complexion show up. So the Israelites were saying, dude, this guy was mocking Israel. How many of you know that's mental warfare going on? 40 days, mental warfare. Come on, I'm going to destroy you, I'm going to defeat you. This giant, come on, Goliath, is defying. We read this as a Bible story. Well, he slung a rock and he hit him in the head. No, look at what was happening before. Anybody ever been in mental warfare before? Come on, you can't even go to sleep at night. Proverbs says you shall lay your head down and you shall have sweet sleep. Come on, there's believers that aren't laying their head down and having any kind of sleep because you got mental warfare going on. See, this is what we're talking about. Come on, breaking free. And so you feel like you're throwing a rock at a 9-foot giant. What do you do? Come on, that's what David did. See, David came to the point where he said, you know, this is all I can stand. Come on, David showed up with food from his father's house, from Jesse, his father's house, just to bring food. His own family mocked him, folks. His own brother said, dude, what are you doing here? Have you come to see the war? You've come to see the war. Shame on you. And David's sitting here and has covenant with God. He's already slayed a lion and a bear. And he's going, come on, all of Israel standing here, the finest men in all of Israel, warriors. And what are y'all doing to this guy? What are you doing? Are you just going to sit here and take it? Come on, if you're sitting here all day just going, just like, come on. How many of you know you're going to get tired of this?
Yeah.
You're going to get tired of somebody poking you. Come on, is that annoying? It's annoying. You know what you're going to get tired of? Come on. I'm going to pick a bit. How many of you know you're going to get tired of this? How many of you know you're going to get tired of that? You know, when somebody's messing with you. Oh, I'm coming. And you're just sitting there. You know, saying, come on, right? How many of you know this is annoying? You're going to get tired of this. You say, right? So why would we put up with that in the natural? You know, we wouldn't put up with that in the natural, right? You wouldn't put up with it in the natural. You're going to do something about it. Why? Because you're invading my space. You're in my world, right? So why, spiritually speaking, when we've been given authority, come on, in Christ Jesus, why would we put up in the natural? Why would we put up, spiritually speaking, come on, with thoughts and things, come on, invading our mind when God has given us the power with the help of the Holy Spirit? Tap into his power. See, David said, I've had all I can stand of this poking, man. This is what David said. He said, who is this guy that comes against the armies of the living God? Do y'all remember that in context? He said, my God is bigger and he will deliver me. Little David, by the way, he was about my stature. Okay, if you study out the Bible, you hear what I'm saying? And so you got 9-9. Come on, this guy's talking trash, mental warfare. Come on, who do you guys think you are? Israel, come on. See, you can handle life problems and addictions and situations that you're going through. You can do it all by yourself. Yeah, you can. But when you tap into the power of God, you get the help of the kingdom, you get all of the angels, you get the host of heaven, Remember in the old covenant, which by the way, we're in a new and better covenant, where you remember, come on, when Elijah was standing there and he said, Lord, open my servant's eyes that he may see that those that are with us are greater than the armies that have come against us. And God opened, come on, Elijah's servant's eyes. And what did he see? A host of angels, the host of heaven, sitting there ready to go to war. How much more are we? That's the old covenant. We're in a new covenant, man. Do you hear what I'm saying? God is for you. So what are we going through? Tap into the power. See, David said, I had enough. My God is bigger. What's bigger? Come on. What's bigger? An eating disorder? Overeating? Gambling? Is it bigger than God? Come on, is it bigger than God? You say, man, you're stepping on toes. No, this is where people are at. Come on, people don't come to the house of the Lord. They don't fellowship in events. Come on, because we've allowed these things to be bigger than God. Tap into the power. Come on. What about maybe just dealing with sexual sin and there's the vice there? Is it bigger than God? It's absolutely not. Come on. What about adultery? What about gambling? All these things that we've elevated, are they bigger than God? See, God, this needs to be our statement. I believe that all things are possible. You can set me free. Come on. I've seen the worst. Come on, we say this in the church. Well, I've seen just the worst sinner. Listen, dude, I don't talk like that. You know why? Because people are people, and they live in this life, and they go through things. But when they have an encounter with a real God, come on, it ain't your religious church thinking and theology. It's the scripture. What do you mean by your? What are you telling me, Pastor? Listen, there's thought patterns and habits that we may or may not have. Come on, we need to line up our thoughts with the word of God and break free from things. Amen. Things, thoughts, ideas and suggestions, these things that hold us down. See, you do your part and let God do his part. That's what tapping into the power is. Number four, we overdose on the Bible for a mind makeover. We overdose. You know what an overdose is? Man, it means that you, well, I can't take my Bible to work. Well, put it in your ears and listen to it on YouTube. Listen to a podcast. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Get on your iPhones and your droids. Get the word in you. Get, underline this word, overdose on the Bible for a mind makeover. See, allow that all-powerful word of God to do its work on the inside of you. Amen. See, Romans 10:17 says what? You come on up. Faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. And so Romans 12:2 says this. It talks about not being conformed to this world, Romans 12:2, but be what? Transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. So you're telling me, Pastor, when I pick up the Bible and I read the word, or I'm on my Bible app, and you're telling me I read the word and get this word in me? Come on. When you begin to overdose on the Bible, you begin to have a mind makeover. See, you're letting God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. Amen. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is alive and powerful. Grab that. Alive and powerful. It's sharper than the two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It exposes our inner thoughts, our innermost thoughts. Think about that. When you're sitting at home, and even your best friends with you, or your husband or wife or friend, or wherever relationship you're in and people are near, come on, God knows what we're thinking. God knows our innermost thoughts and, listen, and desires. Amen. Ephesians 5:26 talks about how we are washed by the cleansing of God's word. If you're taking notes, write down Ephesians chapter 5, particularly verse 26. Go study that out. See, here's the thing. Gaming for 4 hours a night or more. We need to give the Bible equal or greater time than our habit. Come on. This is what I've done with my son, Caleb. My kids love to game. You know what I do with my kids gaming? If you're playing an hour in Nintendo, you're spending an hour in the Word. And guess what you're also doing? You're going outside and doing an hour of exercise. So you're going to get some physical exercise. You're going to get some spiritual exercise. Amen? Come on. See, I've stopped threatening my kids with, I'm going to take it away. I've just empowered them to say, as much Nintendo as you're going to play, that's how much time you're going to be outside and how much time you're going to be in the Word. Amen. See, I call that empowerment, because they don't know, they're learning this now, but see, when they get the word in them and they get to be teenagers, come on, they might sense and have a drooling for the taste and things of this world, but they won't be addicted to them, because greater is he on the inside of them, that will, the light will shine out of them, and they'll not have a taste for some of these things. Come on. They may salivate. Jesse Duplantis said this. He said, God set him free from many, many addictions and many things. And he said he was driving by this sign, and he, without giving a long story, he said it began to make him salivate. He said he began to salivate and began to drool, and can I have a taste for it? But he said, no. He said, I'm not going. Long story short, he was like, no, I'm not going that direction. Come on. See, you may salivate for it, and this is where you need to know there's no condemnation. See, a thought can come, but you don't have to act on that thought. Come on. Just because the thought comes, you'd be like, oh man, you start feeling bad. Listen, thoughts come and ideas and suggestions come to everybody. You just don't have to act on every thought and idea and suggestion. Amen. So what are you saying? Give the Bible equal or greater time than our habit. How long do you want to play? That's the question. My wife's laughing because she's laughing at my son. How long you want to play? But Dad, it's snowing outside. That's okay. Get your coat on. Get your earmuffs on. Get your gloves on. You're going outside, right? Galatians 5:17 and 18, it says the sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. Say fighting each other. They're constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. Point number five, closing right here. We need to fast and pray. Say fast. Man, in the church, for some folks, that's like a dirty word. Like, Pastor, quit cussing. Stop cussing. You are cussing right now. You're talking about fasting. We don't fast. Come on. Man, you can tell everybody today, so I went to church today, and that pastor was cussing. He was cussing. He said this word, fasting. Come on. And it's funny, I look at myself and I'm like, yeah, I need to do. How many know fasting is not all about your weight? Come on. Everybody wants to pick on themselves. How many of you know that could be an idol? Picking on yourself, putting yourself down. Come on, tap into the power of the Holy Spirit. You know how many insecurities I dealt with in just 2019? Can we just be transparent? Well, you're a pastor. How many of you know you could deal with great insecurity? Come on, you're tapping into the power. You're breaking free. You can live life with thinking about what God thinks about you. Come on, when somebody's in your life and they're used to putting you down and you've empowered them to let them do that and keep doing that in your life, it's time to break free. Amen. Well, what about my relationship? Well, maybe it needs to be point number one and point number two. Amen. See, we fast and pray. Luke 4, 1 through 13. We're talking about breaking addictions. We're talking about getting free. Jesus is led into the wilderness for a 40-day fast in Luke chapter 4. And so Luke 4, 14, look at this. So Jesus went, he did some praying and fasting. Look what happened. Now you say, well, he's Jesus. Well, when he was on earth, he was a man. Okay? Same as you and I. So he went out fasting. Listen to this statement. Luke 4, 14, led into the wilderness, 40-day fast. Luke 4, 14 says, then Jesus returned to Galilee filled with the Holy Spirit's power. You see that difference there? He went fasting. He came out, what? Filled with the Holy Spirit's power. See, remember the conflict we talked about last week in Romans 7. Paul said this. He said, I do the things I don't want to do, and the things I don't want to do, I do. See, here's the key, guys, fasting and praying. It breaks the dominance of the flesh nature. Come on, we are a three-part being. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, I am a spirit, I have a soul, my mind, will, and emotions, and I live in this body. Amen. So fasting and praying breaks the dominance of flesh nature. Come on, we are to be spirit-led, not body-ruled. Amen. And Romans 8 is the key. Romans 8, 5 through 7. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature, what are we talking about? Breaking free. Point 5, fasting and praying. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about the things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. Isn't that a mouthful right there? But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace, for the sinful nature is always hostile toward God. It never did obey God's laws, listen, and it never will. Amen. So one of the ways we stop wrestling between the Spirit and the flesh is to empower the Spirit man so he can pin the natural man. When you empower the Spirit man, and you know, prayer and fasting will do that. Maybe you need to fast some TV. Maybe you need to take off. Come on, turn your telephone and put it on off or on airplane mode. Come on. Have some quiet time with God. Start with like 5 minutes. Start and then move it up to 10. Move it up to 15. Move it up to 20. No, God's not requiring you to just bust out a full out hour. Come on, God understands us. Work with him. Amen. So what's the whole point? It's pinning the natural man, putting him down, allowing, come on, the Holy Spirit, you're tapping into his power. See, we're feeding on God's word in this moment of time and fasting. We're hanging out. Listen, say hanging out. Hanging out with godly people, not just anybody, folks. Come on. This is when you spend time with Jesus and you go into Walmart at 1 o'clock in the morning. Man, I want a lot of college students to Jesus at Walmart. He's saying, well, big hoorah for you. No, see, I used to be fearful of evangelism. Come on. I used to be fearful of a lot of things. There were addictions and mindsets in my, you know, that I had that I needed to be free from. You know when I finally got free? Here's the thing, guys. When I finally got free, listen to this. When I finally got free, come on, I began to fast and pray, tap into the power, get with God. Get into his word, boldness begins to rise up on the inside of you. Amen. See, we belong to the local church. I'm not hiding from the church. I'm not hiding from God. Come on. Amen. It's time. Can I just say this? It's time to quit picking on people. Can we just say that? Say people picking. Come on, say it with me. Say people picking. Who cares? Come on. When people, let them wear what they want to wear. My blue jeans, if my blue jeans offend you, I'm sorry. I like my suit and tie, and I could wear that, and I'm not opposed to that. I like the suit and tie. Come on, but maybe it's just the mindset that needs to be broken. Come on, well, I can't. Maybe we're pushing people away with these types and ways of religious thinking. Come on, these addictions, these idols that we have. Come on, this theology that you got to be this certain way before you can come up in this church. Wrong. Where's the grace of God in any of our message? Amen. Now, in this house, you know how we are. Amen. See, prayer connects us to God. We're communing with him. We have intimacy. Come on, there's seasons of intensive prayer. Fasting disconnects us from the world, folks. It disconnects us from the world. See, it's not about suffering. Can I say that again? It's not about suffering. It's an intentional disconnect from the things of the flesh. That's what fasting is. Amen. I'm suffering for Jesus. Come on. I'm suffering. Come on. I'm suffering. I'm about done. I promise. I'm suffering for Jesus. You ever heard that before? And I ain't never suffered for Jesus, dude. Ever. God doesn't do that. Come on. I'm just a suffering for Jesus. Yeah, well, I'm sorry you are, because nowhere in the Bible does he say you need to suffer for anything. Say it again. Give her the mic.
Jesus suffered so we wouldn't have to.
Come on. Amen. You see, you'd be crazy in this church. Are we giving people the microphone? No, man. We're a body, man. We're a church. We need to understand this. Amen. Amen. See, Ian up there playing the keys, he has a reason to being up there. God has a reason for everything. Come on, he has a strategy for everything. He has a purpose for everything. Come on, fasting is an act of obedience and submission of our will to his. Come on, turn off your phone. You know, when we're in the NICU, I'll say this. We're in the NICU, and here's what happened. The Lord spoke to me. There's a lot of information coming in the room. My wife's getting ready to deliver at 26 weeks. A lot of information coming in with the doctor. The Lord spoke to my heart. You know what he said to me? He said, take your wife's phone. So you know what I did? Did I not do this? I took her phone. You know what I did? I turned that phone on off. I turned it off. Gone. It wasn't like an audible voice. Let's hear the Lord, turn off the phone. It was just on the inside. What's the primary way that God speaks to us? By the inward witness, man. On the inside. I am spirit. God is spirit. They that worship him in spirit and truth. That's how God communicates to us. Come on. And so I got an impression on the inside. Grab your wife's phone. I had a knowing. Grabbed the phone, turned it off. What happened? Peace came into the room. Come on. Turned off my phone. And we just got quiet. Now, we did that for like a few hours and we went to sleep. Amen. Some of us, you need physical rest, but you're so busy in your mind, you can't even sleep. God's just saying, listen, turn off the phone, turn off the television. Come on, go for a walk. You ever just gone for a walk on your own property? Have you ever just put down your phone and smelt your flowers that's on your own property? Come on, well, I rent a place. Well, smell your neighbor's flowers. You know what I'm saying? Well, I don't plant flowers. Mine die. That's okay. Just walk to the neighbor's house and say, hey, I want to smell your flower. Come on, do you get the point of what I'm saying? See, there is something supernatural here. Amen. 1 Corinthians 9:26 says this. What are we doing? Paul said, I run with purpose in every step. Come on, we're breaking free. We're running with purpose. I'm not just shadow boxing. You ever seen a shadow boxer? Come on. You ever seen a shadow boxer? You're boxing your shadow. What are you saying? Paul's saying, I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. See, we should have our vision checked. We should have our vision checked, just like in the natural. How many of you have gone to have your vision checked before? Come on. Well, you know what they used to do in elementary school? They used to bring people in, and even in elementary school where I grew up in Florida, they would come in and check our vision. It was interesting. Come home today. How, mom? How was school? Good. We got our vision checked. Huh? You know what I mean? That's the notice that they gave us to take home to the parents, and that paper never made it into the parents' hand. You know what I'm talking about? The permission slip that needed to be signed. See, we should have our vision checked. Why? Because we can have visual impairments. See, sin, habits, and addictions are distractions to our God-given destiny and purpose, and they impair our vision. Come on. See, we should have our vision checked constantly. See, their intention is to derail us and stop us and defeat us. And I want to say it like this, or at minimum, hinder us so we can't achieve our full potential. Some of us, this may be this point right here, a little bit of fasting, allowing God-given vision for your life. Come on, defining who you are, not your habits, addictions, and problems. Allow God-given vision. You may need a vision tweak. What are you saying? Psalm 139, 15 and 16. See, God has a clear and definite vision for your life. You are not a mistake or an accident. Listen, you are not a mistake or an accident. Some of you may be born without mothers or fathers. You may have been adopted. You may have been raised by somebody. But I want to tell you today, regardless of your natural position, come on, you are not a mistake. There's some of you who have been born with parents. You had both parents present and you were told you were a mistake. We did not intend to have you. And that has hurt you. And I'm here to liberate you today. God doesn't think that way about you. See, we need to have our vision checked. Come on, amen. The way we think. Psalm 139 says this. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion. As I was woven together in the dark of the womb. God said, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Let me say it again. God has a clear and definite vision for your life. You are not an accident and you are not a mistake. Proverbs 29. See, the word of God is a corrective lens. Say corrective lens. Come on, that's weak. Say corrective lens. The word of God is a corrective lens. See, that corrective lens does what? It helps you see clearly. Come on. It's a corrective lens. Some of you right now, man, this word is wiping mud off your glasses. Some of you in here today are getting freer and freer and freer. Wait a minute. God doesn't condemn me? No, he doesn't. God loves me? Yes, he does. God doesn't shame me? No, he doesn't. He doesn't condemn me? No, he doesn't. His grace is sufficient. His grace and mercy is an ever-present help in the time of need. There's times where you may not need it today, but you're going to need it tomorrow and the next day. Come on. Amen. See, Proverbs 29:18 says, when there is no clear prophetic vision, people quickly wander astray. But when you follow the revelation of the word, heaven's bliss fills your soul. Heaven's bliss fills your mind, your will, and your emotions. The CEB version says this, where there is no vision, the people get out of control. See, a clear vision will lead you to victory and freedom. And this is what we're speaking about today, is this: stop waiting to step out. Come on. God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. Let me say it again. God doesn't call the qualified. Well, I'm not qualified enough. I don't know enough. Come on. He qualifies you, the called. You are called. He's called you out. Amen. So what we need to do is step out. In all of our imperfections, in every imperfection that we think we have, we need to step out now. Amen. Say now. Now. And we need to do and be what God has called us to do and to be. Some of you this week, you'll be traveling the nation. Some of you this week, you'll be going to your job. Some of you this week, you're going to get out of here this afternoon, and you're going to do some TV watch and maybe play some video games, hang out with your friends, go eat some dinner, have some lunch, whatever it is that you do. But say today, I'm making a choice today. Come on. I'm stepping out. Say, I'm stepping out. I'm stepping out. If you don't have a vision for where you're going, you will be content with where you are. You got to have a vision. You got to have a vision. And where does that vision come from? Comes from God. When you spend time fasting and praying, tapping into the power of the Holy Spirit, He will, come on, reveal vision. Vision restrains us and sustains us. Come on, God's vision restrains us and sustains us. See, when you have a God vision for something, come on, it's usually greater than just you. Come on, it involves other people. Your business is not just for you, but it is for other people too. Come on, there'll be people, you business leaders, you employ. There'll be people you encourage. Come on. Employees you hire, you said, I would never employ them, but God gives you a vision, not just to be a business person, but to be a business person that has Christian vision. Come on. That you help people get free from addiction, and they end up becoming the best employee you ever had in your life. Come on. Amen. See, vision restrains us. Vision enables boundaries. As vision enters our lives, the why of it restrains our lives. Without knowing your why, you'll live an unrestrained life. Without knowing your why, you'll live an unrestrained life. You'll just do anything. How many of us today, we're just doing anything right now? Just doing anything. Because every opportunity seems like the right one. Come on, I'm everywhere. So vision restrains us. Vision sustains us. See, vision, God's vision. Come on. It keeps us going. God vision keeps us looking ahead. It motivates us past the mundane and monotonous. Is anybody tired of just the mundane and the monotonous. Am I the only one? Come on, you work the same job for 30 years. That's okay. But it doesn't have to be mundane and it doesn't have to be monotonous. Why? Because you get God on the picture. Come on. Amen. We're talking about addictions and habits breaking free. Amen. See, we're giving people vision, God vision. We're helping them pray, God vision. We're helping other people. Come on. Come on. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. See, vision looks ahead. When you get a vision to do something great for God, you won't have any time for sin. You won't, man. It'll show up and you'll be like, look, dude, I'm too busy. Halt. Does anybody remember Spectre Gadget? Come on, anybody? I'm the only one that remembers Inspector Gadget. I'm 41. Let me just take it back to the 90s, right? Inspector Gadget. What do you say? Halt. I order you to halt. Remember that? Halt. What are you saying? I don't have time for that stuff, man. I got vision working. See, vision motivates us past the mundane and the monotonous. And vision, come on, I don't have time for sin. How about the children of Israel? Does anybody remember the children of Israel in the wilderness? See, they begin to lose sight of the vision. Come on. You remember when Moses came down with the Ten Commandments? There was a separation. See, some people wanted to go back to Egypt, and some people were like, no, dude, let's go forward to the promise. You know, out of the 12 spies, two came back with an evil report. Joshua and Caleb said, yeah, we're well able to take this land. Even after there was a separation and the Ten Commandments came and Moses was gone and Joshua took over, come on. Joshua and Caleb were like, let's go take this land. Come on, let's cross. Let's go get what belongs to us. What did they do? They stuck with the vision. They stuck with God's vision. And did you know the Bible says that their descendants were given land and were blessed, and their Joshua's and Caleb's descendants took the vision and their descendants was blessed and they had land and they left and their days were prosperous. Amen. Praise God. Vision is important. So all of this is in vain if we are not doers of the word. All of what we had talked about today, all of what we're declaring today, all through this series, we must take these steps. We must apply them. Amen. Stand with me.